Аллилуйя. А оно само значи. Аллилуйя, динамик Крайст. Hallelujah. Seriously. Yes, media team are already. Okay. Bazalwane, thank you so much for your patience. A lot has been happening. I told you. I'll give you the signal to go live. Eh? All right, no, that's fine. That's fine. A lot has been happening. Maybe I'll talk about it one day when we are not live. But a lot has been happening just to try and hinder the conference and maybe even dampen our spirits. But I'm happy that we are here. Hallelujah. Day number three. And we are standing strong. Come on, tell your neighbor, we are standing. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, we are standing strong. Glorious Jesus. So the first day, Pastor Barnabas talked about building your life. And yesterday, Doug spoke about building by prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So today, I'm going to be talking about rise by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Or rather, build by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Our theme scripture. Can we just pray? Is that okay? Can you just begin to speak in tongues? Kanto le debeke sondo korianda radabaka sahande. Yando setiata radabaka sahande. Mande zo oteke dianda ridabaka sando. Paya sata lidabaka sakataya. Rekouze ligra atekele mehende. Reda baba baka sata kaliange rede bebebeke soto. Ribalezo ontekelia dadala da baka sahaya. Mande esote kelianda radababa baka sakaya. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Rande zente kele mende rida baka sakahaya. Payando rodo boko sondo koshikakala da baka sahato. In the mighty name of Jesus. Abba Father, we thank you. Mande sete kepa asata hande. Parate kele debeke sohondo. Era basata kalibahaya. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Abba Father. Oh, hallelujah. Our theme scripture, Jude 20. Can somebody read that one quickly? Oh, glorious Jesus. I'm happy to see each and everyone that is here. How are you, ma'am? You're doing your best. I can tell. But when you leave this place, it's going to be a smooth sailing. Oh, hallelujah. Amen and amen. God is not done. Yes, it's not done. He's still doing something. He's still on the throne. So, you know, just tell yourself, relax. God is in charge.
Amen.
All right, Jude 20.
Jude 20. I'll read from the NKJV.
Yes.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Can you read the Passion Translation?
From the Passion Translation, Jude 20, it says, but you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So the Bible says, building yourselves on your most holy faith. When you read the Amplified Version, it says, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's right. Can you increase, reduce volume? Amen and amen. The Bible says you should build yourself in your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, pray in the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, pray in the Holy Ghost. Rising like an edifice. Oh, hallelujah. So one of the things that we need to know is the Holy Spirit himself. And we need to come to a place where we understand what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. We need to know the things that the Spirit of God can do in our lives. Because one of the things that believers understand when we talk about the Spirit of God, their understanding ends on the fact that he is a spirit that brings power. So they have not known the person of the Holy Spirit himself. They do not know him. They do not know the things that he can do. Are you with me? Hallelujah. 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 So we have to get to a place where we begin to get acquainted with the person of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Sante Kele Debekis. Yeah. Have you sorted the microphone?
Jesus.
Oh, Santa Lada Bacas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. So we have to get to a place where we know the person of the Spirit. Are you with me? So majority of the believers, they do not know the person of the Holy Ghost. All we know about him is that he's a spirit that brings power. We identify him with the attributes, what he can do, not the person of the Spirit. So that is why you realize there are folks who might move in certain dimensions of the power, but in their life, they are lacking something that is vital. Things are not moving in the right direction because the person of the Holy Spirit to them is not as a real person is. They don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. So we have to get to a place where we know the person of the Holy Spirit. And I do believe that we will be talking about the Holy Spirit in the weeks to come. But in the book of John chapter 14, can we quickly go there? John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Hold it right there. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you what? Another comforter. Can you read the Amplified Classic Version? That's the one I want. That's the one. All right. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Mm. So he is our, the Bible says, our comforter. That means there is no believer that should go through something and feel alone. How many people have felt lonely? Oh, Barcelona, can I have the kids come to this side so that we don't have movement? And how many have felt lonely before? The reason that you felt lonely is because you're not acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is telling us he's our what? He's our comforter. That means you can't go through something without the Spirit of God being there to give you comfort. Well, I don't know if I'm talking to the right church. He is a person that does not leave you no matter what happens. But that role of him being a comforter has to do with relationship. That's why you can't just walk to anybody in the street when things are not going well. Expect someone that you meet in the street to comfort you, or even to tell them your problems, and you expect them to do something about it. The reason why they can't do anything is because there is no relationship. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit is our comforter. That means when we build relationship, we are not alone even when we go through stuff in our lives. That's why James says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear no evil. The reason is because David has a relationship. Tell your neighbor, have a relationship. He is our intercessor. Oh, that's what the Bible says. That means he intercedes on our behalf. Oh, we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on, before the conference finishes. And he's our standby. Well, what does that mean, standby? He's there in times of, so he's not just the comforter, but he's standing by your side. He's not going anywhere. Come on, tell your neighbor, he's not going anywhere. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He is with me. The Holy Ghost is with me. Oh, hallelujah. He is our strengthener. He gives you strength. When your strength finishes, the Holy Ghost gives you what? Strength. He is our advocate. Yes, we have Dr. Ruth is our lawyer. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. You know, you hear talk and you're planning to visit her with some people. No, she is a bona fide law graduate. Amen. Hallelujah. An advocate is someone that will stand on your behalf. That means in moments where you can't talk, in moments where you can't defend yourself. That's why the Bible says the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to who? To the Lord. He is our advocate. When I have no strength, when I cannot talk on my behalf, when I cannot defend myself, he is my advocate. He stands on my behalf. When the accuser is coming with all of things, all of a bucket list of things that he can accuse me, the Holy Ghost is my advocate. Come on, tell your neighbor, I've got an advocate in him. And he is our helper. He is our helper. Oh, hallelujah. How many of us want people to help them sometimes? You know, there are folks who are always angry. People don't, they leave me, they don't help me. When I do stuff, no one supports me. You've got the Holy Ghost. He is your helper. Because if you don't recognize him as your helper, how can men help you when you can't recognize God, who is your helper? I don't know if I'm talking to the right folk right there. Come on, tell your neighbor, I've got a helper in him. Lastly, he is our counselor. How many people know what counselor is? What is a counselor?
The person who helps with advice and counsel.
And consoles you, gives you advice. That means I'm not walking blind. When I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm not walking. How many have walked blind before? Zalwane, you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? He is more than just the power. Because after we have fallen down in church and gotten up, what's next? If we don't have a relationship, we'll be people who fall down every Sunday, are falling down, getting up into the same issues. Nothing is changing. But when you have him, you have your helper, you have your counselor. He is able to talk to you. He is able to tell you what is to come. He is able to give you advice. When you feel weak, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Because he is our strengthener. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just passing here. This is not my message. I'm just passing here. Oh, hallelujah. So when you look at the seven things that the Holy Spirit can do into your life, you realize that all of these seven things would translate to the leading. Rather, they point to the ministry of the Holy Spirit leading your life. When he is functioning in these seven things, you will notice and you will realize that this just translates to the leading of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? So the purpose, the main purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is so that the Holy Spirit will guide us, that he will lead us. Can we read John 14, verse 26 quickly?
John 14, 26. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Read the Passion Translation.
Verse 26 from the Passion Translation.
Yes.
But when the Father sends the Spirit of Holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I have told you.
He will do what? He will inspire you. Come on, tell your neighbor, the Holy Ghost will inspire you.
Inspire you.
According to the word of the Lord. So this means that the Holy Spirit cannot inspire, or rather guide you outside of the perimeters of the word of God. There are many people, you know, we have people that are still growing in the Lord, and what I've noticed most of the time, especially when people are growing in the Lord, is that they like so much to be spiritual, but they do not know how to measure that spirituality. Isn't it? There are folks who like spiritual things, but they have no idea how to judge spiritual things. Are you with me? So, number one, the Holy Spirit will never inspire you outside of the perimeter of the word. That means he can never tell you something that contradicts what the word of God says. Are you with me? I have seen a lot of people who come and say, man of God, interpret this for me. My wife knows, almost on a daily basis, someone is coming with a dream. Someone is coming with whatever inspiration they receive. But half of the time, I realized, majority of the times, the people come with inspirations that are contradicting the word of God. Read again the Passion Translation.
Verse 26. But when the Father sends the Spirit of Holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I have told you.
So he inspires you according to the word. This is the first place when the Holy Spirit is leading you. When you begin to know the person of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit does not inspire you
outside of the word of God. That means there is no inspiration that will directly contradict with what God has said in his word. There is no prophetic word that you receive that contradicts what God has said in his word. One time we were listening to something, I think we just came across it on Facebook, and this dear sister said she was going to this, I don't know, some sect, I don't even want to mention the name. But she said, then they came with a prophecy to say, now this brother is now your husband. And that is in direct contradiction. The things that they say to her were in direct contradiction to what the word of God says. He said, no, you're not married in the spirit and you're... So majority of us, we get to a place where we start to receive inspiration, but we don't verify whether the inspiration is the spirit of God. Because we ourselves don't know the word of God. The fact that you are receiving inspiration, whether it's a dream, whether you're hearing a voice, it's a vision. The fact that it is coming, it does not mean that it is the spirit of God. Because the Bible tells us the measure is that he inspires you according to the word of God. Are you with me? He doesn't contradict the word. Even if it was going to be a personal prophecy, that personal prophecy does not come in contradiction with the word of God. Even if God was going to lead you to do something, it does not come in contradiction to the written word, to the logos word of God. Anything that comes in contradiction, that is not of God. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? So you begin to judge now. When people come with something and to tell you something, you begin to judge according to the word. Is this according to the word? What the Bible says, you inspire you to remember every word that I have told you. That means the measure of what the Holy Spirit can do in your life is God's word. I'm going to tell anybody, but that's the measure. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 26.
John chapter 15, verse 26.
Yes.
The Passion Translation. And I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth, emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me.
He is called the divine encourager. Oh, hallelujah. All right, read the NKJV.
NKJ version. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
So the Bible says when he comes, he testifies of Jesus. So one other thing you need to know about the Spirit of God is when he comes, he reveals Jesus. Now, a couple of years back, I met a group of people and they tried to give me one of these books and whatnot, written by some angel somewhere. And this angel appeared to a guy, I believe the name was John Smith. So they have a pseudo book, which is called the book of something. So they're trying to talk to me, and each time I'm bringing scripture, and do they say to me, no, wait, let's first read our book before we get into the Bible. I said, no, we start in the Bible before we get into your book. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, he reveals Jesus. Anything that reveals something that is not Jesus, that is not of God. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. That's why we are always encouraging folks, believers, this is not a one-man band. God wants to raise sons and daughters that he can use. But in order for him to do that, the Holy Spirit has to become real and he has to teach you about Jesus. He has to come and reveal, give you a revelation of who Jesus is. Any revelation, whether it's of an angel, if it's of a man of God or whatever, if it does not come to reveal Jesus, then that is not of God. Realize the spirit at work is not of God. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 17.
John chapter 16, verse 7.
Yes, verse 7.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you.
So Jesus is saying, it is to your advantage if I do what? I go away. Because if I don't go away, the helper will not come, which is the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation says the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. Why is he coming? We read verse 13, it says, but when the truth-giving spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. So the Holy Spirit, his purpose in your life is to unveil the truth. One of the things that most believers do is they like to be led by the Spirit minus the Word. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he reveals the truth of the Word. Are you with me? That is why majority of the believers right now, most of them are not even sure the voice that speaks to them is the voice of God. The reason they are not sure is because they don't have a relationship with the Word. Mzalwane, don't like to hear from the Spirit when you don't like to hear from the Word. Majority of the leadings are very demonic because the Spirit of God is not there. Oh, hallelujah. I know that's a hard one, eh? Oh, glorious Jesus. Oh, glorious Jesus. Oh, glorious Jesus. So, when the Holy Spirit comes, he has to reveal the Word of God to you. How do we know what the Word of God says? How do we develop hunger of the Word of God? How do we understand what the Word of God says? The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, he reveals unto us the truth. So that means, number one, you need to be a person that loves to read scripture more than you love to hear from anything else. When he comes into your life, then he begins to make the Bible real to you. The reason why most people don't understand the Word of God is because they don't have the Holy Spirit as their teacher in their life. Majority of the believers don't have him as their teacher. So that means they are just living. How you read the Bible, some of us, when we read it, it doesn't make sense to us. We close it. We wait for Apostle on Sunday to say something to us so that we can at least have a lifeline for the whole week. The Bible says to every individual, he is the divine encourager that comes from the Father, that he may unveil truth to us. That means the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life is to reveal the Word of God to you. He brings Jesus and he makes him a reality through scripture. Are you with me? So tell your neighbor, he's not just for speaking in tongues. He's not just for the power. But he is there to guide us. Now, have you noticed how many people have received the Holy Spirit? How many have received? Some are not sure. How many people have a GPS on their phone? How many people get lost? How many people have GPS? If you have a phone in this era, it has GPS. All right, maps, maybe let me put it that way. How many get lost? Even using the map. But you realize that map cannot work unless you engage with it. Oh, hallelujah. Let's assume you want to go somewhere you've never been before, and you take the map and you put it on the screen. Do you think the map is going to take you where you want to go? What do you need to do? You enter, you engage with the map. Is it? So when you enter the destination, what happens? It directs you. Do you enter the destination and then you put down the map and you start going because I've entered, so I'm going to go. You follow it. Some even give you instructions, right? Some even say something. They tell you in 500 meters, you're turning right. In 300 meters, you're turning left. But majority of the believers, we have the Holy Spirit, but we have never engaged him to lead our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know so, because I know there are believers who like to be prophesied. But you have something greater than the word of prophecy. That is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. Imagine I can give you a prophetic word for today. But the Holy Spirit can direct you step by step. Are you with me? I said, how many of us have walked blindly? We raised hands. That means those moments you ignored the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says when he comes, he guides us into all truth. That means he knows what's ahead of us even before we get there. When you read John 14, 17, it says he will tell you of things to come. Oh, hallelujah. How many of us have received bad news before? How many knew beforehand that there was bad news? Okay, maybe bad news. How many received good news before? How many knew before that there's something good that is coming? So the Holy Spirit, he guides us step by step. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, 20, but the Holy One has anointed you and you know all truth. The Amplified Version says, but you have been anointed. You have been anointed. You hold a sacred appointment. You have been given an unction from the Holy One. And you all know the truth and you know all things. That means the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Now, I'm not talking about coming to church Sunday service. I'm not talking about being laid hands upon. I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. He is there to unveil the truth, to bring everything to your knowledge. Are you with me? He brings everything to your understanding. Before something happens, the Spirit of the Lord will bring that thing to light. So majority of us, we are where we are. We are complaining failures in our lives, not because God can fail, but we have failed to follow the GPS of the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 2. It says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to who? To God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He is speaking mysteries. So we have limited the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues, just us communicating to God. We have not tapped into the full potential of what speaking in tongues can do for us. Because a mystery simply means it's hidden information. A mystery means that there is a secret that has been released. But for to understand the secrets that God has concerning our lives, we have to get to a place where when we speak in tongues, it's by intention to receive information from God. Oh, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. Majority of us, when we speak in tongues, we do it so that we kill time. We are in an all-night prayer, and we want to kill time. You are in a prayer session. Pastor said, pray for 1 hour. You want to kill time. So even the tongues, you end up even saying something else that is not tongue. The Bible says when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries. It gets us, I always say this, we get the audience of God. It is not just to usher us into his presence. But when we get there, there is something that God has to release unto us. And those are the mysteries. Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, receive mysteries. Receive mysteries. Receive mysteries. It gets you acquainted. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual practice. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. How many of us speak in tongues by intent? Some of us, we start speaking because we see the time is moving. We see, hey, maybe everybody else is speaking. Let me just say something. How many of us practice speaking in tongues at home? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, are you with me? So that means when I'm going to get mysteries, it's by intention. I have to get to a place where I say, God, when I get into this place, I'm coming out with solutions. Are you with me? Come and tell your neighbor, it's a practice. Oh, hallelujah. The Passion Translation says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says, because he's not talking or speaking to people, but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the spirit. That means there is a fellowship. When we are talking about intimate mysteries, it means I am brought to the person that I am talking to. Are you with me? I said it's about a relationship. You cannot be led, be comforted, unless you know the comforter. You cannot be led unless you know the guide, unless you trust the person that is leading you. Are you with me? So majority of us, we want the leading of the Holy Spirit, but we don't trust him. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to Bazalwanis after church talking. You see whether they trust God. Listen to the Bazalwanis on Tuesday. You realize whether they trust God or not. Oh, glorious Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, glorious Jesus. So when we speak in tongues, we are brought to a place called the place of mysteries. But that place is a relational place. You can't just come to my house to start to talk to me when we have no relationship. Amen. Just imagine walking in the street and somebody's already, hey, Mr. Quinn, can you sit down? We need to talk. You know, when we go and do evangelism, what people do sometimes? Because there's no relationship. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. So when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands the word he says, because he's not speaking to people but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the spirit. Verse 4, the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. Did you get that one? So that makes speaking in tongues key to the Lord leading you in your life. Majority of us, we are not going anywhere because we have not harnessed the potential that speaking in tongues have. Have you gotten to a place where things are not working out and you say, you know what, I need to get to a place where I start to speak in tongues right now until God reveals what's going on with this thing? How many of us have been stuck before? How many of us have felt that life is not going anywhere? The Bible says when we speak in tongues, we tap into the mysteries of God. Oh, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. That's why Jeremiah says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to do what? To prosper you. But how do I get the plans in motion when I speak in tongues? I speak mysteries. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. So you begin this practice, it makes your spirit man become alive. The reason why the devil doesn't want to hear this issue of speaking in tongues. Some do speak in tongues, but they speak limited. I'm sure you've been at places where people will spend 3 hours, whether they speak, they pray in Zulu, in Xhosa, in Shona, whatever language they do. 3 hours, and then just for 2 seconds they go, Rabba sakatala namakata, amen. And they wonder why things are not moving. They wonder why God is not talking. The Bible says it gets us into the audience and it downloads the mysteries. What God has in store for me, I can download it when I engage my spirit with his spirit. Oh, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. Are you with me? So a lot of people want to know, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? Start to speak in tongues, brother. Get your spirit to become sensitive to the Spirit of God. Have you ever exchanged numbers with someone? They say, I'll call you. Actually, they take your number. They say, I'll call you. Have you ever had that happen before? And even when they are taking your number, you are even wondering, this person, I know them, they never call. God is giving us a blank check here. So we engage with our spirit. Speaking in tongues becomes the entrance for the Lord to lead us as New Testament believers. It advances our spirit, man. It helps us to grow our relationship with God. It makes us to become spiritual people. Oh, hallelujah. You want to become spiritual, read the word of God. We spoke about the word and the Holy Spirit leading you through the word. But also engage in speaking in tongues. The Bible says you make progress. Oh, come on, tell your neighbor, you make progress. The Bible says physical exercise is good for the body. But godly exercise, it advances you in all things. So speaking in tongues is godly exercise. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, if you want to flex your spiritual muscles, start by speaking in tongues. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. It is our entrance point. It is our access point into the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit leads us, many people have asked me this question. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, when he's talking to you, do you hear a thunderous voice? How many people think you hear thunderous voice? Come on, I want to be honest. How do you think the voice of God sounds? It can be still. All right. Anybody else?
That's my thinking. You know, when you are in an empty space, then if you say something like
an echo,
something like that.
All right. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. So let's start with the simple one, right? Hallelujah. You know, you'd be expecting to hear God say, help me. It is I, the Lord. Pack your bags and go to Deben. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 16. Can you read?
Romans 8, verse 16, uh-huh. From the Passion Translation. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost.
Hold it right there. What does the Holy Spirit do?
He whispers.
No, the first thing.
For he makes God's fatherhood real.
The Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood to us real. How many of us have doubted God before? If you go through something and you even wonder if God loves me. Hallelujah. I know a couple. I won't point them. But the Holy Spirit makes the reality. He makes God manifest in our lives. He brings the reality of God's fatherhood to us. Are you with me? The Bible says, by that we cry what? Abba, Father. He makes God's fatherhood as real to us as it can ever be. He makes God real to you. Are you with me? The Bible tells us when he comes, he teaches you Jesus. He makes Jesus real to you. He makes the word real to you. Here the Bible is telling us he makes God's fatherhood. When we call God our Father, the Holy Spirit makes that a reality in our lives. So we are not guessing. Listen, we've heard people say, allow me to say this issue, right? Some people say, God is for everybody. And that is true. He is a God of everyone. But he is a father to a few that have the Spirit of God. Are you with me? He is the creator of everything that was created, but he is not a father to all, because those who are his sons, the Bible says the Holy Spirit makes his fatherhood to us a reality. So that means it's those that have the Holy Ghost that have the right and the privilege to call him father. That will experience, in other words, they will experience what a father is in God by virtue of the Spirit of God on the inside of them. So that's why majority of the believers that have not awakened to the role of the Holy Spirit in their life, it is hard for them to believe that God can do anything for them, because God is not as real as a father to them. God is a distant father to them. God is a distant God to them. I don't know if I'm talking to people right now. There are folks that I have met that have said, "Men of God, is it true? Are you saying that God is actually there?" Yes, he is there. But if he's not a reality to you, check your spiritometer. Do you have the Spirit of God? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he is the one that makes God real. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor, he makes God real. Oh, glorious. Can you continue reading?
For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being. As he whispers into our innermost being.
In our
innermost
being. What is found in our innermost being? What is found in our innermost being? No, the Holy Spirit whispers to your innermost being. What is in your innermost being? Your spirit man. The inward man of the heart. So the Holy Spirit comes to speak to your inward man. That means when he is leading you, he leads you by an inward witness. That's why no one can come and give you a word, a prophetic word, peradventure, and say something to you, and that thing is not registering in the inward man. Some of us, it's not because that is not what God is saying, but it's because we have not trained our inward man, so we have no witness on the inside. I don't know if I'm talking to the right church right there. Are you with me? Majority of us, some of us were even told you're going to die by next year. And you are afraid of dying, but here you are alive and kicking. You didn't need time to tell you whether you're going to die or not. You needed the inward witness. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. The Holy Spirit whispers into our innermost being. That means he leads us by the inward witness. Oh, hallelujah. How many of us have, before you've averted an accident before? Probably you could have gotten into a car that had an accident. And all of a sudden, as you wanted to enter, you felt on the inside of you that this is, no. Let me get the next one. He whispers, you know, but majority of us, we have not learned how to listen to the inward witness. Number one, we don't speak in tongues so that we engage with God. We just speak in tongues for the sake of speaking in tongues. Because when we get to the place of mysteries, our spirit man becomes a receiver of what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we have an inward witness on the inside of us. So there is no one that is going to come and tell you, you know what, God is saying, pack your bags and go to Bujumbura. If your inward witness is saying no, that's not it. You're not going anywhere. So many, you know, a couple of years back, my wife and Pastor G would know this. There were so many people that wanted to come and they say, let's men of God, let's work together. Let's do something. Let's do ministry together. And I would look at them. Some of them very big. I look at them and I say, okay. I don't respond. The reason why is I'm waiting for the inward witness. Pastor G knows this. My wife knows this. You know, one time someone was putting pressure on us. Let's work together. Let's do something together. My spirit said no. And I kindly said no. Just a month down the line, that person's name was headlining something. Some scandals were coming out. I know someone would have said, oh, this is a big name. Let me work with them. You need to have an inward witness. Come on, tell your neighbor, have an inward witness. How many of us have bought something before? But you knew when you were buying that I'm not supposed to buy, but you couldn't explain the feeling on the inside. After you buy that thing, then problems begin. He guides you. He whispers into your spirit, man. That means you have to develop. You know, we call them listening sessions. We call them times of meditation. We call them quiet times. Moments where you pray, you're speaking in tongues, but you just have a moment where you know I've downloaded something. Even when you're speaking in tongues, you know that these tongues I'm speaking with right now, these are not ordinary tongues. This is not the ordinary thing. You receive some of us have actually received more information from God than we can dissect, than we can understand it. But we just thought, oh, today prayer was what? Hey, I was speaking in these kinds of tongues. The Bible says, calls them diverse kinds of tongues. And the Holy Spirit is whispering, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. You just get up and go. Some of you actually hear God speaking, but you bind. You say, this spirit is anti-progress. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind it. So the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He bears witness. He whispers in our innermost being. He speaks into our innermost being. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor, he whispers. He guides us by the inward witness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. You know, somebody was telling me something today. I won't mention the whole thing, but it was just telling me something. How this one prophet just destroyed people's lives. You know how many people love? Pastor Lord, don't love to be prophesied. Here we believe in prophecy. We prophesy here like no man's business. Yes, we do. But have the inward witness. Are you with me? Let the Spirit of God guide you. Let the Spirit, come on, tell your neighbor, let the Holy Ghost guide you. The Amplified Version says the Spirit testifies together with our own spirit. So there is no leading that can be outside of your spirit, man. Even if somebody is to come and tell you this is what God is saying, your spirit, man, your own spirit has to testify that this is what God is saying. Okay, open for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. From verse 10, let's hear what the Bible says.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10.
Yeah.
But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost hearts and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit?
Hold it right there. I was trying to catch up with you. It says verse 10. You're reading which version?
Passion Translation.
All right. Just give me a moment. Okay, let's go.
But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit.
He unveils it through what?
Profound.
By the Spirit. Who is he revealing these things to? To you. God is not going to go and reveal it to somebody else who's going to come and reveal it to you. He will reveal it to who? To you. By the Spirit. Are you getting it? All right. Yes. Can you continue?
Yes. He has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries.
And deepest what?
Mysteries.
Remember, we're talking about mysteries just earlier on. How is he revealing these ones?
Through the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who constantly explores all things.
Yes.
After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit?
Hold it right there. Who can know a person? So get this. God has already downloaded in your spirit, man, everything concerning your life. But the access is to exercise the Spirit. Exercise being spiritual by praying in the Holy Ghost. You have to engage with the Spirit of God so that you can access the information, the mysteries that God has downloaded in your spirit, man. Are you with me? Everything that you ever lead in life, God has deposited on the inside of you. But you need to access it by the Spirit of God. So the Bible says he has unveiled everything to us by the Spirit. And it goes on to say, after all, who can really see into a person's heart? Another person says, who can know a person's life? But the person's own spirit. So if God wants to reveal what's coming in your life, he does not use anybody else's spirit. He uses your spirit. He talks to you. Are you with me? Continue reading.
So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God.
Read the NKJV.
Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which
is what in man him? Knows the spirit of man except what
the spirit of the man which is in him.
Where is this spirit that knows everything about a man? Whose spirit is it? So when God wants to talk concerning guide you, whose spirit is he going to talk to? So that means you have to exercise your spirit. You have to begin to walk in the Spirit. Are you with me? You have to begin to practice being in the Spirit, hearing God in the Spirit. Are you with me? Let's read Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27.
Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27.
Yes.
I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Mm-hmm.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes.
I will put
my spirit within you.
When the spirit is within us, what will happen? Are we there? Yeah? What will happen?
I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes.
And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That means if the spirit is within, there is an inward witness that will cause you to walk according to the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Majority of us, we want to be led from the outside. Majority of us, we want, God, if this is my husband, he should come and give me this apple. The first person that will give me a sweet, that's the one, Lord. Yes, that's the one. That was an Old Testament way of doing things. Ezekiel is talking about what God is going to do in the new covenant. I'll put my spirit within you and I will cause you from within you to walk according to my statutes. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that they were led by the cloud of glory. So in other words, they literally have to see physically where the cloud is for them to know where they're supposed to go. If the cloud was going to stop at a particular place, they knew that we were going to camp here. But in the new covenant, we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We are not going to check outside to see what the stars are saying. We are not going to throw or cast lots to find out what's going on. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Come on, look at Acts chapter. Don't open it. Acts chapter 1. What did the disciples do in Acts chapter 1? They said, our dear brother Judas is gone. Let us look for a replacement. Did God tell them to look for a replacement? They thought, let us look for a replacement. And they said, let us look for someone that worked with us, that worked with the master. And then they located about three guys. Among us, the three guys who was there, whose name was there? Matthias. And they said, let us cast lots. Whoever the lot will fall upon, we will choose him to become an apostle like us so that we can be 12 apostles. And the lot fell on Matthias. Let me tell you something. That was the first time I heard about Matthias, and it was the last time I heard about him. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, when the Spirit of the Lord, after he had come, he chose for himself the 12th apostle, and that was Apostle Paul. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. There are things that we have chosen by virtue of outward leading, not inward leading. Say, God, if it is you, I want you to cause this stone to roll over there. My brother, you'll be waiting for the stone until kingdom come. We are now led by the inward witness. Are you with me? Say, Father, if it is you, I want this cloth if it is wet in the morning, then I know it's you. We have the Holy Ghost says, I'll put my spirit within you and he will cause you to walk according to my statutes. That means we are being led by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking for a cloud anywhere. I'm not looking for a sign in the heavens. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I know what I have to do. I know where I have to go. I know what it is that is required of me, because the Spirit of God is leading from the inside. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell your neighbor, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have the real deal because we've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the real deal because we've got the Holy Ghost. He speaks from the inside. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, amplified version. We are almost there. Tell your neighbor, we are almost. Oh, hallelujah.
Romans chapter 9, verse 1, from the amplified version.
Yes.
I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me, enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit.
Continue.
That I have great sorrow and unceasing.
Hold it right there. It says, is it the AMPC or the Amplified? I need the AMPC.
Verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with me.
Hold it right there. It says, how is he receiving guidance there? By the Holy Spirit. It says, I am not lying. My conscience enlightened, prompted. Means there is a prompting of the Holy Spirit that is happening on the inside of him. It says, prompted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness with me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor, there is a prompting you need to receive. It says, my conscience. That means God is using our inward faculties to speak to us. He is talking to my conscience. Oh, glorious Jesus. Oh, glorious Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you need to be filled by the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Colossians 5:16 says what? I need a quick Bible reader there. Quick opener, rather. Yes. Are we there yet?
Yes. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit.
Walk and live
habitually.
Habitually. That means it has to become a habit to hear from God. Do you know most of us, we want to hear from God when we're in trouble only. Even when people are looking, are seeking for a prophetic word. The men of God, tell me what is God, what God is saying. Say, why do you want to know what God is saying? I tell you, because they've got a problem. So I'm like, so what if you didn't have a problem? Would you be interested to hear what God is saying? Say, men of God, just tell me. So here the Bible is saying, walk habitually. You have to practice to live from the inside. Are you with me? Practice to live from the inside. You know, when we do marriage seminars for the singles. I know people have got bucket lists. And there's nothing wrong with those ones. There isn't. No, there isn't. You like what you like, right? But there's a problem if the bucket list does not check the inward witness. Bazalwane, there are folks who are suffering. Everything checks the bucket list. They are suffering right now. So you live from your spirit, not from the flesh. Oh, glorious Jesus. Oh, glorious Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, live from the spirit. Make it a habit. Habitual live and walk in the spirit. No, don't do it by accident. Some of us is by accident. I mentioned earlier on, some of you almost got into an accident, but you just knew that I can't be in this car and you moved to the next one. That was by accident. It has to be a choice. Intention. I want to be led by God. You also need to have a renewed mindset. Ephesians 4:23 says, renew the spirit of your mind. You can't be having a carnal mindset expecting to hear from God. No, it doesn't work like that. You can't feed the flesh and expect God to do something. What you feed is what speaks to you more. Oh, hallelujah. What you feed is what speaks to you more. If you are feeding your spirit, man, your spirit will speak to you. But if you are feeding your flesh will speak to you. Oh, hallelujah.
I remember in high school, somebody had a dream. They told me, brother, I had a dream you're going to marry this sister. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Thank God. Well, the sister was our scripture union leader at the time. And she was a very spiritual and mature person. So she heard that this dream has reached me. Somebody came and told me, I think about two people, someone saying, I can confirm, I had a vision. I said, me, I had nothing. God has never said anything to me. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize you can help Seal without knowledge and start to receive information that has nothing to do with God? Oh, glory. You know, one day, I want to believe even before the conference ends, I'm going to come, we're going to have a spiritometer service. Where we're going to test every spirit that speaks. Oh, hallelujah. It says, renew the spirit of your mind. Huh? How many know what they do in the white garment churches? They have the old men sitting in the front. Young girls sitting in the front, facing each other. And all of a sudden, the old men start to have visions. Oh, we hear the old man saying, no, that one, the Lord showed me. No, you were sitting in the front. You saw it. God did not show you. Hallelujah. Renew the spirit of the mind. Allow God to fix upstairs here so that you can hear him. Some of us, we are moving in fear. Do you know there are people who are moving in constant fear? Is it right now? Say, start a business. You're afraid you have a loss, so you won't start it. If it wasn't problems that dragged you here, you would have died where you were. Afraid of moving. Oh, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, quickly.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
I thank God, whom I worship with a pure conscience, in the spirit of my fathers.
When read the NKJV.
Verse 3. Mm-hmm. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers.
It's not saying what I want. All right, let me read for you here. I serve God with my spirit. We say practice this habitually. It says, I serve God with my spirit. How many of us serve God with our spirit? You know, somebody said to me a couple of years back, you know, we used to cry a lot. I mean, I still do cry in the presence of God. Used to cry a lot. So he challenged me to say, go and ask your fellow people you're crying with. What were they crying for? So I went, I asked. Hey, brother, it seemed as if the Spirit of God was so heavy on you. Why were you crying? What was happening? The brother is thinking of a grandmother who died, I don't know how many years back. They were not even in the presence of God. So Apostle Paul said, I serve God with my spirit, with my conscience, my inward faculties. They serve God. Says, practice this habitually. You are in church. You think everybody else is in the move and the zone of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. Yesterday, I was listening to Pastor Benny Hinn talking about an experience he had a couple of years back. I think when he was 20 years old, and they were praying, and so happened that the Spirit of God came into the place. A brother manifested a demon, and people thought it was the Holy Spirit, and they were going to touch to get the impartation of whatever was happening. Until one dear man of God who was there, who could sense in the Spirit that this is not the manifestation of God, this is a demon,
casted out that spirit. He says, I serve God with my spirit. I'm not moving in the flesh. I'm not moved by anything you do in the natural. I serve God with my spirit. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. I'm not satisfied with the tears you cry. That doesn't move me. I serve God with my spirit, man. My spirit has to see. Oh, Satakaya da Bahaya. Some of the things we call God encounters, they are not. Oh, glory. I know I've rattled some cages right now, and I don't care. Serve God with your spirit. The Bible says the Father is looking for those that will worship Him, not with good voices, not being good instrument players. There's nothing wrong with playing instruments or having good voices, but they that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You have to worship Him with your spirit. So don't just connect with your mind, your spirit has to connect also. It's like, you know, when your spirit is not connected, it's like having your phone that is switched off Wi-Fi when you're at a place where there's free Wi-Fi. Say, oh, I was in church and church today was so nice. Oh, we had a wonderful time in the presence. But your spirit was off. You never connected with God. You were in the motions and the emotions, but not in the spirit of God. Oh, Sataka Yaba Asata. Those every his of rehese can to ligra ataka dia santaya marandoze ekrida dia sante le debekese hete. Romans chapter 1, verse 9.
Romans chapter 1. For God is my witness, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son.
I serve with my spirit. Ask your neighbor, when was the last time your spirit connected with God? Our emotions are important in the presence of God. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when he comes, we cry like babies. We roll on the floor. But when was the last time your spirit connected with God? When was the last time you had in a spiritual encounter? In the middle of town, the Holy Spirit shows up and begins to talk to you. Oh, hallelujah. Train your conscience to be spiritual, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 5, 14, quickly. I'm about to finish. This is a conference, so conference will have to say it all. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age.
Mm-hmm.
That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised.
By reason of what?
Of use.
Hey, can you repeat that one?
But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised.
Those by reason of use have their senses exercised. When have you... The last time you connected, when was the last time your spirit was alive, was awake? You know, some of us, that's what I'm spiritual in life, mago. I don't know where I don't know about the spirit, but... Says by reason of use have exercised their spiritual senses. You have to exercise the inward witness. Exercise your spirit, man. Don't wait for a phone call for you to know something. Exercise your spirit. You know, a couple of years back, I was talking. I just gave you. I always like to talk about testimonies when we were just starting. You know, when we just received the Lord. That's me. I like to. It's not that God has not done anything before. Okay, when I was first year in university, so I started doing something on campus, and it rattled some people were made uncomfortable. So one time I was praying in my room, and precisely at that hour, God said to me, get up and go to this office. This pastor wants to see you. I got up. I even left my phone in my room, went to that office, to that pastor, knocked on the door. And the pastor was just said to me, you know what, about 5 minutes ago, I was calling you because I wanted you to come. I said, I know. God told me, that's why I came. When was the last time something happened to you because God told you? Oh, hallelujah. You know, some years back with some friends, we used to say, let's wake each other up to pray. So what time are you waking up? No, you know when I wake you up. Yes, you are deep in your sleep. You feel like somebody is just stepping you. Wake up and pray. And you wake up and you pray. Because we didn't have phones then. It was a mystery to see someone your age holding your cell phone. You'd know that they are loaded. So when you wake up, you pray. You meet with your friend sometime in the afternoon. You say, hey, what time did you wake up to pray? He said, yeah, I woke up at 2. So, but finally, that's the time. How did you wake up? Say, no, I saw you in my dream waking me up. And I was saying, no, I felt like somebody was tapping me on my shoulder to wake up. Heavy by reason of use. When was the last time you exercised your spirit? When was the last time you knew things by the reason of your spirit? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, those were the days we were starting. Now we know a whole lot of things before they happen. Oh, glorious Jesus. We know a whole lot of things. God reveals things to us because we've exercised our spirit to hear what the Holy Spirit said. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Can you read the contemporary English version? CEV. First Timothy 4, verse 2. All right. First Timothy 2, CEV. Yes. Are you hearing what the word of God is saying? Can you look at it in your Bible? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It says there are those whose conscience is what? Has been seared by a hot iron. That means even if God wanted to warn them, God wanted to talk to them, he has no communication with them because their conscience is dead. Their inward capabilities by which God can communicate is no longer working. Doesn't end there. What do they do, those people?
Forbidding to marry.
They forbid people to marry. There's some funny doctrines that are just coming up. Yeah?
And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth.
There are some people just come with the funny doctrine. We God revealed to us we eat milk only. I don't know, they have some funny stuff. I'm not gonna get into that detail. But the Bible says their conscience have been seared by hot iron. They can no longer receive information from the Spirit of God. Because their conscience, their inward witness is dead. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's look quickly before we close. Yes. Examples of the inward witness. Let's see what the scripture says. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, we read in Romans chapter 1, says by the promptings, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us with promptings. Sometimes the promptings will come in a form of a vision. Sometimes it will come in form of knowledge where you just know something. Sometimes it's a sensation. Sometimes it's a feeling. It depends. God speaks to us differently. Sometimes it's a dream. Isn't it? God speaks in promptings. So part of the promptings that God used, when God speaks to you in promptings of the Holy Spirit, number one, God might give you a burden. In Mark chapter 8, verse 12, we are not going to open and read it. I'll read it here. The Bible says, but he sighed deeply in his spirit. This was Jesus. He began to sigh deeply in his spirit. In other words, he was troubled in his spirit. Jesus was troubled in his spirit. And as he was troubled, he was sighing. That means he had a burden right deep down in his spirit, man. Most of the times when God wants us to know something or something is happening, God will bring a burden. Some of us, we have received the burden. All of a sudden, you feel like, I have to pray for Brother Wellington. I just have to pray for him. You don't know what's going on with him. God is communicating with your spirit, man. Some of us, we have had a burden even for our family members. All of a sudden, there is an urge, a burden to pray. You might not even know the reason why you need to pray. There is a burden that God is giving you. One time, I remember sometime in 2018, I just woke up around 3 a.m. with a burden to pray. I just began to speak in tongues. I did not know what I was praying for. The Bible says it, that for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit gives us what? Utterance with groanings that words cannot express. So I just began to speak in tongues. I'm praying around from 3 a.m. I'm praying up until around 8 a.m. in the morning. And at 8 a.m. when I stopped, my sister sent me a message that I just almost got kidnapped right now. I could have loved sleeping. They say this Mercedes Benz or whatever car was it, with no number plates, just drove by, tinted windows and the car was dark, just drove by. You know, two of my sisters were jogging outside in our area where we stay. And the one man got out and grabbed my sister's hand, pulling her into the car. And my one sister was already running, crying for help. There was no one in the street, literally. There was no one. There were just the two of them. And I've been praying since 3 a.m. I don't know what's happening, but there is a strong burden. And I'm praying. I'm now in tears. I don't know what I'm praying for. I'm just praying because God brought a burden. And my sister then said to me, as this guy was about to put her in the car, all of a sudden, a security guard just appeared right there where the guy was, where he was dragging. He just appeared from nowhere. A guy just materialized. And those men ran away because also it was a shock to them. Where did this guy come from? I could have ignored that thing. My sister would have been dead. Many of us will receive a burden to pray, but you love sleeping so much. You love Netflix so much. To such an extent that those burdens no longer come. You silence the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now when you enter into problems, you are saying, Lord, why did I enter? You silenced him. That's why you're entering. So sometimes he gives us burdens, a grieving. You start to grieve in your spirit. You don't know what it is. Just begin to speak in tongues. For when we pray in unknown tongues, we pray what he alone knows. And he causes us to pray according to his will. Are you with me? Sometimes he gives you, he might prompt you, giving you a warning against the attack of the enemy. In John chapter 13, verse 21, the Bible says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and says, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He all of a sudden, as they were eating and sitting, he just said something was troubled on the inside, and boom, God revealed that one of them was going to betray. Many of you ignored God. That each time that he comes, you're about to sign a business deal with someone, you know there's something, there's an unsettling thing in your spirit. You ignore it. You just see what you have discussed. We just discussed, in 3 weeks we are getting a billion. Let's do it. You sign that thing. 3 weeks you'll be crying. Oh, hallelujah. So he warns you of the impending danger. First, 2 Kings chapter 6 from verses 8 to 9. The Bible says, each time when the king of Syria would plan against Israel, verse 9 says, Elisha the prophet would then know by the spirit and tell the king of Israel, don't go in such a way, for the Assyrians are planning to kill you there. And if the king of Israel listens, the Bible says his life would be spared and they'll defeat the enemy. Each time the enemy was planning something against them, the men of God would know by the promptings of the Holy Ghost. That means the promptings of the Holy Spirit, why the inward witness is important. He tells us when things are not going okay. I'm not talking about you dreaming about your dead grandmother telling you something. I'm talking about the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. There is no communication between the dead and the life. So I always dream my grandfather telling me, and it's always true. That's a demon, my dear. If a person is gone, they are gone. It's no more communication. We are led by the Spirit of God, not by dead relatives, but by the Spirit of God. And I know some people want to interpret when you dream a drug, when you dream a wedding, when you dream janja, when you dream lala. That's nonsense. We are led by the Spirit of God. Say, my eyebrow is twitching. I might be receiving money. Check your account. You're on minus. We are led by the Spirit of God. Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, we are led by the Spirit. Yes. He also prompts you to take charge in a matter. Sometimes things are happening and you don't know about them. The Holy Spirit will prompt you to take charge. Are you with me? He prompts you to take charge. John 11, 33, when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, everybody was crying, broken down. Some were saying, had you came yesterday, had you been here, where, had you been there the day before, he wouldn't have died. Immediately, the Bible says he was still troubled in his spirit. There was the prompting in the spirit. Then he says, take me to the grave. When they go, they says, roll the stone away. And he called Lazarus to come forth. He took charge of the situation by reason of the inward witness. Majority of us, we break down when you receive bad news. We break down when you go through bad things. The reason is we no longer listen to the Holy Ghost, or we've never listened to him. When he is there in your life, he prompts you to take charge. Oh, hallelujah. In moments where people are crushing, he prompts you to take charge. The same river where all the Israelites' children were dying, he prompted in the heart of the mother of Moses that go and hide him in the same river. There was the prompting to take charge. In the place that where others were dying, that was the place where Moses was saved by the reason of the promptings of the Spirit of God. Oh, glory. The Bible says we have not received the spirit of timidity. We have not received the spirit of fear. But we have received the spirit of what? Of power, love, and a sound mind. That means my mind is not wandering everywhere and anywhere. The moment I'm here, so and so was on the news. Now I'm trying, I'm now holding my heart in the hand and I'm wondering what's going to happen to me. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power. He prompts us to take charge. Ooh, hallelujah. Are you with me? The husband brought the dead child to the wife. Says, yes, your child is dead. When the wife went to the prophet says, is everything okay? She said, all is well with me. She took charge of the situation. Oh, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right there. Come on, we need people that take charge. We need people that know how to stand in authority of the Holy Ghost. He also gives you discernment of the spirit over even spiritual atmospheres. He gives you discernments over spiritual atmospheres. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Can you read?
Chapter 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Mm. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour.
All right, let's start this slowly. A certain girl, who was what?
Was possessed with the spirit of divination.
Do we know what a spirit of divination is? Do we know what the spirit of divination is? It's a familiar spirit. Okay. I spoke earlier on about white garment churches. How many here have been to white garment churches? And they told you exactly what has happened in your life, word for word and accurate. Accurate, word for word. Eh? You used to be. I can tell. One day I will bring you the white garment. They will tell you word for word. Now, many people have misunderstood when we say false prophet. When we talk about false prophets, people think it's a prophet that says, your name is Shepherd. If you say, no, my name is Gilbert. They say Apostle is a false prophet. You saw, he tried to tell Pastor G that his name is Shepherd, but his name is Gilbert. He lied. No, that's not false prophecy. That's called missing. False prophecy has nothing to do with missing a prophecy. False prophet has nothing to do with telling you information that is not true. No, they will tell you what is true. The Bible says, this girl, what did she do?
As much prophet by fortune telling.
She was fortune telling. What did she do to Apostle Paul and them?
She followed them, saying, men are the servants of the Most High God.
Was she lying?
No.
Had she met them before? It would be... Did they know her from somewhere? Did they know the prophetess from somewhere? Did they have prior information that the prophetess knew? Did she watch them from Facebook? She was 100% accurate. False prophets, it's not about the information. It's about the spirit giving the prophecy. You didn't hear me. Okay, can I tell you something? Not every prophecy spoken in the Old Testament came to pass. I'll prove it to you. What did God tell Jonah? What did he say to Jonah? Go and tell them I'm destroying the place. How many read the last chapter of the book of Jonah? What was happening to Jonah? He was dead and angry. Why was he dead and angry? His prophetic word God told him did not come to pass. But was Jonah a false prophet? Zalani, don't love these. So I'm sitting the one who can tell you everything. They can tell you the water you drank yesterday. I tell you the color of your inner garment. That doesn't make anyone a true prophet. Because this lady had the spirit of divination. We're talking about being led by the inward witness. Just because someone can tell your name is Helen does not make them a true prophet. Even the devil knows your name is called Helen. You don't think the devil knows your mother's name? You don't think he doesn't know what you are studying? So having taught the right information does not make one a true prophet. That's why you go to the white garment churches, they'll tell you everything about your life. The Bible says, charge every spirit. You know, we're going to be going deeper with this thing. We're going deeper as we go from tomorrow going up all the way up to Sunday. I'm just laying down a foundation here. Not every spirit that can tell your name is Lisbeth is the spirit of God. Even the devil knows your name. How? The sons of Sceva. What did the demon say? Says, Paul, I know. Your name is known. Knowing your name, telling your name does not make... I'm not saying, listen, we do it here. So don't... You know, for those that are watching in line here, we prophesy with your names. So don't worry. We are not attacking anybody. We are teaching the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. By the way, there's somebody... Somebody that is watching,
that God is healing. Oh, Sata Bahaya. Mayando Soto Nedebeke Satai. I'm seeing your mother with an issue. I don't know whether it's a heart condition or it's just in general a chest issue. But God is healing her because I see a holding, putting a hand over her head as if something just pierced there. God is saying healing is coming. In the mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will help you discern, give you the spirit, the spirit of discernment. He will give you even the gift of discerning of spirits. This girl got it right. These are true servants of God. Follow them. Right, prophecy, she was okay. The Bible says, until it bought that. We, you know, my Bible here says, Paul being grieved in the spirit. That means the Holy Spirit prompted him, hey, this is not the right thing. The information was true, but the spirit was not true. Don't marvel when you're told true information. Check the spirit. That's why the Bible says, test every spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. We are almost done now. This is the last scripture, and then we pray and we go home.
Acts chapter 17, verse 16.
Uh-huh.
Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols.
Hey, he was in Athens, and the Bible says his spirit was what? He was provoked because he realized. Where was he realizing? In the spirit. The city was given to idols. You know, most of you, you struggle when you're doing things. You know, we used to have like a fast food thing that we had by DUT there on the outside. So one of the mornings we came early, by where we used to set up our tent and put our gas stoves and whatnot. And as we were just got at the place for the first time, it was swept nicely. And we were wondering who swept our place, only to discover where we put everything at the center. We saw somebody had cut cut the head of a dove, sprinkled the blood all over the place, did some incantations. A pigeon. They did what they did. Funny thing is, they thought something was going to happen to us, because the person then came to ask us. Came to ask us. They said, "Hey, your son. I said, "Why?" I said, "I've been watching. Something was supposed to happen." The Bible says he had a stirring in the spirit that he knew the whole city was given to us. That's why we say, let's pray at 10. Let's pray at 4 in the morning on Saturdays. Why are we praying? Because we understand that it's not just about having the nice posters, the nice designs. It's not about having the nice everything that we have here. They are spirits that we are working against. I told you, I'll tell you the story one day. Things that happened prior to this conference. I'll tell you the story one day. It's not about the nice faces that your people have. It's not about whether you've got a wig or you've got natural whatever. It's not about that. It's not about what you've done with your face. There are spirits that are behind. Folks, especially you guys that do business, you're selling and stuff like that. You find some days people just like to come to you and buy. Some days it's like they don't even see that you are there. It's a spirit. You think, I know, let's put 2-for-1 prices. It's not about the promotion. Apostle Paul said in his spirit that the city was given to idols. There was the prompting that the atmosphere here is not the right atmosphere. There are folks you rub shoulders with that carry the wrong thing. Folks that say, you know what, my daughter, I like you. And you think you find a mother figure. Relax, Msalwan. Relax. You have the Holy Ghost.
If you want somebody to talk to, you have the Holy Ghost. Let us rise on our feet. Oh, Sataliba Kahaya. We are led by the inward witness. Mzalwane. Oh, Sante Ledebeke Sehinde. Pariada Baka Satai. Mando Zebra Adegeda Dia Sata. Ladare Ezente Keli Andarida Baka Sakai. Just begin to pray. Oh, Satala Baba Baka Sakai. Yes, Satala Baka Satan. Rende Rede Bebebe Kesoto. Rande is Satai. Mayanda Radabaka Satan. Baya Sati de Bebebe Kesete. O Rantali da Baka Sakai. Rente Sete. Give us strength there by the piano there. Make the sound rich. Kaya mandara da baba bakasata. For the saints that are watching online, I want you to continue praying right where you are. This is the end of our online service. Tomorrow we'll be live again at 9:30 a.m. in the morning. So do join us in the morning. Invite somebody to come. Tomorrow I'll be praying for people. I'll be prophesying for people, even online. So invite somebody to come. But before we go, I see the hand of the Lord touching a young man, Kayande Sete, by the name of Tinashe. Right where you are, receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Even as we go offline right now, continue praying right where you are. Father, we thank you. Right here, just begin to pray. Rabba Sata Ladiba Katahaya. Mayanda Radabaka Sata Kaladabaka Tahande. For the next 5 minutes, I want you to pour out your hunger before God. Say, Lord, I need to be led by the Holy Ghost. I need to walk with the inward witness. I need the Spirit of God to begin to testify with my spirit. I asata lida bakasataya. And if you fama njita ungerema rema, pandona kufama njitunga bili wana mwaya mchwene. I pray that the inward witness resoto kolianda lida bakasahaya. I am sick and tired of walking in blindness. I'm sick and tired. Reba Sata Kaya Mahanda. Rebebebebe Kesondo. Okotaye Rina Baka Sata Kalianda. Ayando Esha Baba Yanda. Radia Baka Sahaya. Rotele Grede Esianda Labahasa.